Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at housestreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to goldradio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard.
My guest is Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to goldradio.fm.
Well, good to be back. A lot happening as usual. And I'm quite optimistic, even though there's a lot of shit storms. I'm optimistic.
Can you tell us about the Hat Trick Letter and how people can sign up for it?
Yeah, it's golden-jackass.com. The flagship is the Hat Trick Letter, the newsletter. There's only one newsletter, so it's the newsletter on golden-jackass.com. I've got the subscribe feature. I've got consults. And I got a newly revamped donate button that eliminates PP. And PP, for those who don't know, is a rather scummy organization with threats to impose fines for people who tell the truth. Anyway, there's no more PP on my donate button, and I'm very happy about that. The newsletter is doing very well, Jim, and I thank you for your support to help in the rebuild for the last 2 years. It's been a tumultuous few years. Anyway, let's get moving here with the many, many questions.
Well, we managed to get through October without a stock market crash. Is this a bullish sign for the stock markets as we head into 2024?
No. They're doing their best to prevent a stock collapse, even though there's very little profitability. If they have a stock market crash, you're likely to see a revolution, so they want not to see that. There's only one upward force for the stock market that I see globally, and that is that the dollar will remain quite strong as the global community of central banks dumps the Treasury. The Treasury is going without a bid, failed auctions. The Treasury is not supported. It's being dumped widely. And that's resulting in the dollar going up paradoxically. It is a major confusing paradox for a lot of people and not a point of confusion here. We might see foreign investment entities buying into the stock market because the dollar is going up. But I think they're going to be cherry picking, and I think they're going to, you know, come in, then come out, and come in, then come out. We're in probably the third year of a minus 10% recession. And I don't talk out my rear parts. I don't speak ex anus. We're in about the third consecutive year of at least a minus 10% recession. There's very little profitability for the big companies. And furthermore, the big banks are no longer lending institutions because they're all insolvent. Someone wants to invest in the stock market in that environment, good luck.
Gold is still near all-time highs. Why have the gold stocks been crushed?
Paper in general is not very reliable. I don't regard gold as near all-time highs. If you look at true inflation adjustment for a night, for say a 2013, a 2014 price, gold is about 1,000. Gold has lost about 50% of its real adjusted value in the last 10 years.
Could we see an oil embargo in the Middle East and new highs for oil?
Oh, absolutely. I'm expecting that. In fact, when I heard the first inklings about the false flag attack where the Israelis in control of Hamas and Obama in control of Hamas and Langley in control of Hamas attacking Israel, with Israel killing some of its own, in order to make a point and start a war. I thought this is definitely going to result in higher oil prices. I think we might, Jim, we might see Western Europe cut off temporarily from Middle East oil supply. And by the way, here's a motive that not too many people are talking about. Israel does not have much in the way of oil resources, so they're trying to capture the $450 billion Leviathan energy deposit, oil and gas. It covers about four countries, covers the southern part of the Mediterranean, estimated Leviathan at $450 billion. And it covers some of Lebanon, a lot of Syria, and that's why you see the Israeli military fighting in Syria. They're trying to defend the illegal oil drilling in Syria by Israeli and other Western oil companies. Also, another motive for this war is that there is plans to build an alternative to the Suez Canal, which is run by Egypt and the Arabs. They want another canal, and the name given is the Ben-Gurion Canal that goes right through Gaza. So they need to wipe out Gaza, dig the canal, and have an Israeli-run, Khazarian mafia-run canal that is an alternative to the Suez. You won't find that in the U.S. or Western press.
What's causing more inflation, energy costs or the growth in government debt?
Right now, it's the energy costs. Right now, it's a supply shortage that's not really talked about much. The lockdown interfered with the entire supply chain. We instantly got an extra 5% on the CPI, 6% on the CPI. It got as high as 18% or so. And they admitted that it was only about 5 or 6. So they were lying by 10 or 12%. Whatever they lie on the consumer price index is what they lie on for economic growth. We've got 10% recession year after year after year for 3 years. The energy costs are often blamed for the higher inflation, but is that really the cause for higher insurance costs? Is that really the blame for higher egg costs? Is that could you maybe point the finger at 12 different diesel refineries all across the United States that were blown up? You think that might have had a bigger effect than the oil price? I do. You're not allowed to talk about it in the news. They blew up diesel refineries at the same time they're blowing up food processing plants. Okay, we are a nation. United States is a nation. Canada's involved with this too, for blowing up and self-destructing the entire supply chain. With the effect on diesel prices, you had trucker strikes because they could not make any money. Truckers could not earn a living. Truckers could not continue business in a viable fashion. It's a direct result of blowing up diesel refineries. It's not in the news. The government debt, Jim, that is going to be the next issue because the United States is having very poor auction results. In August, they had a faked auction success where the United States Department of Treasury handed money under the table to our friends and they bid on the treasuries. So in the next week or two, it came back under the table to the Treasury. It was self-dealing. We bought our own. It was monetization. Anytime you have monetization of your debt, you invite pretty heavy price inflation. I'm expecting a hyperinflationary depression. That's my call for 2024.
Your thoughts on interest rates as we head into 2024?
They will continue up. They have no choice. There are quite a few reasons, and they're critical, for why the U.S. interest rates continue to go higher. They cannot afford to have a failed auction and the publicity for it. Now they're having a hard time concealing that they are indeed having failed auctions. There are lots of things you can do to fake an auction. And after a while, when you have two or three of them in a row, the methods become revealed and the fake success becomes known and it becomes then publicized as a failed auction. The dollar will go down hard if they stop raising rates. Right now, we've got a hemorrhage with Treasury bonds, Jim. Global dumping if they stop raising rates, it's going to be a very, very fast hemorrhage.
Mortgage rates are up significantly, yet home prices haven't collapsed. Your thoughts?
Well, I think the home prices have somewhat collapsed. They're down a good 20 or 30% in the last year and a half. Would you call that a collapse? Or do you need 80% to call it a collapse? We're already down in real estate prices about as much as what we saw with Lehman in 2008 and 9. I think we've got a minor collapse. It's going to get a lot worse. It's going to go down another 20 or 30%. Then they'll call it a collapse. I'm calling it a collapse now. You can wait to use the term. It's your choice. I use it now because I hear stories like the lending bank decided that they would not lend $280,000, but instead they would lend $255,000, $25,000 less, 10% less. So they told the seller, if you're willing to sell at $25,000 less, we've got your buyer all greased up on the loan. Now, that's part of a collapse. I got lots of stories like that. We got a price collapse right now with housing. We got people that are pulling their property off the market because they know they won't get a good price. And what they should do is they should sell it now and get any price, because in 6 to 12 months, the market is going to go completely shut down, no bid. We're heading over 10% for mortgages. I think they're at 8 now. We got a bigger collapse coming. We've already got a collapse.
The U.S. dollar is once again in a trading range. Where do you think it'll go from here?
It'll go higher because foreign central banks will continue to sell treasury bonds in volume. We're getting a growing list of the central banks that are dumping treasury bonds. A growing list means that it's getting a lot worse and it's more diverse. And it's to the point where the U.S. government cannot make two phone calls to stem the selling. They'd have to make five, and then in a couple months have to make 10 calls. I mean, you got Norway selling, you got France selling, you got a lot of people we consider friends selling. The dollar is going to continue to go up. I said 3 or 4 months ago that the dollar was going to go above 105 on the dollar index, and it did. It almost touched 106, and it's come down. And some people are, I think, incorrectly and very imprudently saying that the dollar rally is over. No, I think this is profit-taking and reevaluating before the next gigantic round of treasury bond dumping takes place. And the paradox is, if they dump treasuries and they don't hold the dollars, then their currency goes down and the dollar goes up. This is a supernova with the dollar going up. The dollar is going to go up.
China's economy is in trouble. Could that contagion reach North America?
Yeah. I've got a growing opinion that Evergrande, the big conglomerate for banks and construction and, you know, the builders of empty cities and all the nonsense in China. My theory is that Evergrande has killed the Chinese financial and related sectors, which are key to their economy. Their banks are in trouble. Their construction firms are in trouble. Their property management is in trouble. They've got no bankruptcy laws and procedures. So what you get is a massive decay. Evergrande, I believe, is in the process of killing the Chinese economy. Could the contagion reach North America? Well, yeah, anytime you have a big nation in serious trouble, the contagion could go global, not just the United States. It could harm Japan and Korea. It could harm Thailand. It could harm Singapore, Indonesia, Australia, and just spread like, you know, a contagion. China does not have the ability to fix Evergrande, but they do continue to export with individual companies doing well. They've got a robust car and motorcycle sector. I don't think they've got a robust truck sector, but I could be wrong on that. I just never hear anything about Chinese trucks. I'm very concerned about China in a good way. It's going to make them more humble and less aggressive outside their borders, because they got to manage their home front, and they don't have any bankruptcy procedures. We've got Chapter 7, which is to total liquidation, match up your assets and your debts. We got Chapter 11, which is restructure. China needs to do a restructure with Evergrande, and they don't know how. So they just decay and go to shit. So let's watch that and see if they do some reform and permit the resolution, permit the failure and, you know, the liquidation of assets and resolution toward debts. You know, matching up debts and assets, you got to do it. You got to do it. If they don't do it, then they just continue to decay. I've got something that's really quite fascinating. It handed to me a PDF file with about 30 charts about China, and they're all negative. And it's numerous sectors. It's all negative. It's all negative. So if you think China is doing well as an economy, you're dead wrong. Their banks are in trouble. They want the Chinese yuan to remain strong, but the United States could actually do them a lot of harm by dropping the dollar and making the yuan too strong and harm their export industry. It could be a plan down the road. I don't know. We are in, I think, a situation where Evergrande is layman times seven, and the United States is in a situation of layman times five. That's our basis for comparison. We've never seen anything like what we're witnessing now in the United States, and neither has China in its country. We've got an implosion happening in the United States, and China is going to be kind of a distraction. I don't think it's going to be an effective distraction. Wait till we get a big bank like Bank of America enter failure and 10,000 depositors can't get their money out.
Does the Great Reset require a global financial meltdown to usher in a new dark age of tyranny with digital cash and social credit systems?
Yes, it wasn't heard at the beginning. The Great Reset requires a global financial meltdown. Yes, it might, or at least it would present the best opportunity for the Great Reset. You know, Jim, I've got an opinion, and I'm not alone, but if they haven't done the reset with digital cash and central bank digital currencies, then they're not going to. They might be waiting for a collapse, but in the face of a collapse, I don't think the big banks will remain in control. In the face of a collapse, I think you're going to be looking for your heroes on a white horse, looking for a new system to be created quickly and suddenly with a different basis like gold. To think that the big banks can engineer or permit and not prevent a collapse of the banking system, and then they're in control of the next chapter, to me that's folly. That's ludicrous. Makes no sense at all. So if they're waiting for a collapse in order to start their reset and bring in their fascist banking rules, I'm laughing at them. I don't think it can happen. They're not going to be in control. First of all, the creditors step in, and the creditors are, this time, are going to be looking to divide up the country. And when the creditors step in, they're going to be looking to arrest the big bankers because they're involved in money laundering for all kinds of different trafficking. When the creditors step in, they're going to be making deals with the new system managers who are looking for to create a new foundation like with gold. So the Wall Street managers, they're in big trouble now. Their system is collapsing, and they don't have the power to impose the digital framework.
We'll have more with Jim Willey right after this.
Recyclico, making lithium-ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willey. Jim, more crime and corruption is being showcased every day. How bad do you think things will have to get before we see arrests?
Well, I think the arrests happened a good 18 or 20 months ago. That's just, you know, as a preliminary comment. You mean how long before we see perp walks of, say, political leaders? I don't know that we're going to see that at all. I think instead some political leaders will be taken out and their own managers will replace them in a manner that you don't even notice, because most of the people are, I don't want to say dumb as rocks, most people, even the good people, fail to notice that a person has been replaced. How many people in Pennsylvania are aware that Senator Fetterman is now on his third version? How many people notice that? I don't think half the people notice. I think a third of the people are asleep and not very bright. I'm told by a number of sources that the arrests are like 10 times as rapid compared to what we perceive, what we believe is happening, and what we see. We're not shown much. Were we even shown that Fetterman died? No, no. The senator of Pennsylvania from, you know, the Adams family, who could not put five words together. If we had the old vice president under Trump removed and replaced, did people notice? I don't think so. I had an alarming comment from a very bright and informed client, said, Jim, would you be surprised if 100 members of the U.S. Congress have been replaced? And I said, well, I'd be surprised if it was more than 20 or 50. We're not told anything. We don't know much. We're not informed much. We don't have a drill down on the investigation. How many Americans who are of the blue state and blue home type even know that Biden, the one they see, is wearing a mask? How many? Okay, can you even tell me whether Biden has been arrested? Okay, you're asking when are we going to see arrests, and I'm saying we already have, and I'm not sure you're in much of a position to notice or have the skill set to notice. So let's move on.
It seems like everywhere we look these days, corrupt people are being exposed, whether in national, state, or local governments, or corporations, or media, and many other places. Any thoughts on what percentage of the population is corrupt?
No, I don't know. I can make a comment based on the executives at the national, state, corporate, media levels. I think they're probably 80% corrupt. The bigger they are, the more likely they are corrupt. If you've got a mid-sized S&P company, their executive staff might not be corrupt. But there's an old saying among the billionaire club, if you want to become a billionaire, you got to join and get corrupt, or else you're not going to be a billionaire for long. So if you want to be like an S&P 500 major leader company, you've got to attend their meetings, join their agenda, get involved with poisoning the public, get involved with the propaganda, get involved with the international betrayals, like, you know, selling weapon systems and selling intellectual property to foreign nations like China. If you don't join, then you don't go up in the ranks. So the bigger the company, I would think more likely about 80% of them are corrupt. As far as the people go, I don't know. I focus not so much on popular corruption as popular stupidity. I think if you talk about the public and you just do some measurements, you'll find 30 to 40% of them are dumb as rocks. And I don't care one iota of their degrees in college education, graduate school. I don't care at all. I know a guy who's got a doctorate in engineering, and his entire family, in-laws, and uncles and cousins, 80% of them are dead by the vaccine, and he still swears by the vaccine. He's got a PhD in engineering. Dumb as a rock.
What happened in El Capoco?
I think since Maui was such a big success, they tried it on a bigger target like Acapulco. They killed maybe three times more people than Maui. The death toll in Acapulco might be something like 10 or 15,000. It was a combination of a HAARP hurricane and a due laser hit, continual laser hit. My contact, not exactly a friend, but I've talked with him and know him a little bit, Jeff Berwick, He was not in Acapulco at the time and considers himself very fortunate because that's where he lives. And that's where he has an Acapulco conference that I almost went to 4 years ago. I decided for security reasons I just didn't feel like going. Acapulco, I believe, is an elevated, staged attack in order to create a cabal resort, smart city, or combination.
What's really going on in Israel and Palestine?
Genocide, capture of the Leviathan $450 billion energy deposit, clearing the way for Ben-Gurion Canal, and possibly something unexpected, like the end of Israel as a nation. I prefer not to speak any more about the Israeli issue during this show. It's a bit of a third rail. I've made a number of points in other shows. I made my issue, made my point about the canal, the Leviathan oil deposit. Almost nobody in the mainstream Western press talks about the oil deposit, Leviathan. I mean, the Israelis for 10 years have had the Tamar floating platform. I mean, it's not anchored to the seabed. It floats, and it produces natural gas, and for a long time, I think still is, it's feeding natural gas into the Gazprom network. So Israel is working with Russia, and there's a lot of oil in Syria. I believe some in Lebanon. There's a lot of oil in the northern parts of Israel. And Israel wants it all. They don't want to share it with their neighbor countries. Why should they? If they keep them at war, they can steal the oil. If they kill a nation, they can steal all that oil. This is nation killing. And everybody's watching. I don't have to mention it. I've called it a third rail, and I'm watching the people touch the third rail, and I'm realizing it's no longer a third rail. So let them continue to touch it. I'm watching.
Dr. David E. Martin is calling for the total destruction of the World Health Organization for crimes against humanity and bioterrorism. Your thoughts?
I put my full weight behind him. I wish him the best. David Martin has been now for 2 or 3 years, the leading expert on forensic analysis of the patents. If you dig back, you'll see the patents for elements of the vaccine that were developed 4 and 5 years ago. Well, how could that be if the disease was so recently discovered? It's because it wasn't discovered. It was developed out of a laboratory many years ago, and the lie we're told is that it was recently discovered. I noticed something so basic. Why in April and May of 2020 did they change from corona case data to COVID case data? The answer is that COVID is all kinds of influenzas. It's also pneumonia. The pneumonia cases dropped off by 40 to 50% in 2020 because they're all called corona, and later they're called COVID. I don't call the disease COVID. COVID is covert vaccination ID with artificial intelligence, 1-9, AI, 1-9. COVID is a fascist project. It's not a disease. Wake the hell up, people, and quit using it as a term for a virus. Wake the hell up. It's a coronavirus. And most of them are relatively harmless. If you go into the CDC right now, you know, the Center of Disease Control, you'll see that corona and COVID are classified in the same category as the common cold. Wake up, people! David Martin is fighting the battle. Reiner Fulmich is also fighting the battle, and he just got arrested by German agents in Mexico over a month ago. And he's going to be taken, and the crime that Dr. Fulmich committed is exposing the genocide. Let that sink in.
British Columbia decriminalized hard drugs this year. Oregon decriminalized hard drugs 2 years ago. Now Deep Blue Oregon wants to recriminalize hard drugs. Are things likely to get worse in BC before they get better?
You know, this is a very crazy topic, Jim, and I don't really wish to answer your question directly. I wish to make a few comments that the most grandiose insanity that I have ever witnessed in my life is in California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. Your state, your province, and our three states have a social psychosis. It's not stupidity. It's you're psychotic. Most of the people that you talk to are psychotic, unless they're battling the government to stop the vax. Those who are taking it are somewhat psychotic. A large slice of your population is psychotic. Your government leaders are psychotic and what's the word? Sociopathic. So your leaders are sociopathic, your people are psychotic, and you're struggling with questions like this. And I'm watching in utter dismay and confusion at how stupid can you be as a society.
Mass migration is causing hard times for first world countries. Can this be turned around?
Yeah, but it's going to be hard. Deporting is a very difficult process. But one thing that's different about this time around is the deporting is not for people who entered legally. So just by virtue of the fact that they entered illegally without any, you know, vetted and approved customs and immigration forms, it means they can just be taken out, just led by the arm. You're going out. You got in here illegally. You're out. So mass deportation will be needed, but how do you mass deport 30 million people? It might be 40 million. And I believe of that, a third of them are probably good people. But too many of them are the single-age military men, you know, aged between 20 and 35. Too many of them. And they have a menacing look. I did a consult call. I may have mentioned this before. A guy in Reno, Nevada, and he said, Jim, on any Saturday afternoon, just go out and check out any major boulevard in Reno and look at the street corners, and you'll find five or six men just standing around smoking a cigarette, talking away, you know, drinking a soda or iced tea, nothing to do, military age, fit, fiddle. What are they here for? How'd they get here? What's their plan? Do they have a cell phone and they're waiting for Obama and United Nations instructions to raise hell, burn and loot, arson, kill, steal? Is that what they're here for? Okay, deporting them is not going to be easy. To begin with, you got to find them. You got to gather them up. I'd like to see some kind of a unvetted immigrant rally. We're going to do a rally. We want to see 100,000 people rally for Biden and tell them that they're each going to get, you know, $20 bills. And it'll be a big raffle for $500,000 and 20 winners and arrest them all and deport them. It's not easy. I've been actually told that some of the people coming through the caravan are actually hired by Trump from the Salvadoran military in order to do the deportation. And I got one story of a Los Angeles client who said, Jim, I know somebody, did a consult with me. She said, we know somebody who just got deported back to Salvador, El Salvador, a gardener. And the wife wanted to pick up his tools, like, you know, lawnmower and a weed whacker or whatever, rakes. So deporting is being done. It's going to be a very big project, and it might take 10 or 15 years.
Could we see civil wars alongside a world war?
Well, I don't think we're going to see any world war because the actors who pretend to be representing the United States government, they don't have launch codes. And Iran, Russia, and China, they're not going to detonate anything nuclear. What we might see is NATO detonating a micro nuke to try to induce Iran to detonate a bigger nuke. I'm very concerned about micro nukes that look a lot like, say, a conventional explosion or even the explosion of an ammunition depot. I found something quite interesting 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Jim, and it was an analysis of the light from what was believed to be a conventional explosion in Ukraine. It was an analysis of the degree of white in the light, because a nuclear blast has the whitest of the white. There are degrees and shades of white, and they break it down into like a dozen different white shades, and they concluded that it was a micro nuke because it was such a white degree of white. I hope that makes sense. An extremely bright shade of white was exhibited in a micro nuke. I think what we're going to get is a lot of civil wars. Civil war in Ukraine, maybe a civil war in Australia, civil war in the United States, I think we have a civil war in the United States. It's just not military and hot. It's a financial civil war. It's a class civil war. It's a fraudulent civil war for control of markets. We might see a civil war in, well, I know we have one in Israel. Pardon me, hiccup. We have one in Israel. We have a civil war in Syria. The United States is trying to create enough civil wars so that it can become a global war, a world war. I don't think it's going to happen. We've had a year and a half, almost 2 years now, in Ukraine, and it did not spread to become a global war. Russia did not take the bait. Russia decided to continue in their campaign at a local level. They decided to let NATO deplete its own forces, deplete its own war materiel and its own, you know, munitions, to the point that Germany will not supply any more Leopard tanks or ammunition to Ukraine. So Russia allowed that civil war to go to the point where the Ukrainians are very likely to kill Zelensky themselves. Russia doesn't need to kill him. Let his own political enemies kill him, because Zelensky has now killed a couple of his political opponents. So up comes vengeance time. I don't think we're going to see a world war, because we've got the Trump, Xi, and Putin, what I call triumvirate at work, where they're working together to avoid a global war, to avoid a conflagration, to avoid a beginning, a nuclear fuse being lit. Now, look at it this way. You can look at it any way you want, but for the moment, look at it this way. We've now had about 6 weeks of Israel, and we've not had any nuclear detonation, and we've not had any U.S. naval vessel sunk. But we have had missile attacks, and the Houthis in Yemen, under Iranian control, have launched missiles at Israel, and these wonderful U.S. naval vessels could not offer a shield of protection. So how effective is the U.S. anti-missile defense? It is for shit. That's how effective it is, and it was displayed 4 years ago in Syria. The U.S. military missile defense is for shit. So we're seeing it again, a replay. I don't think we're going to get real far into this Israeli war. I'm going to make a forecast, and it's not the first time I've done it. I think we're going to see Israeli military dissension, because it's well known that they did a false flag and Israeli military killed their own. In the United States military, I think this is going to be a divining rod, where the pro-Biden, high-brass military stand down and say, sorry, we're not following your orders anymore, and it will essentially be an act of defiance, dissension, and mutiny. The dissension is going to tear apart the U.S. military and the Israeli military. That's what I'm expecting to see.
Is mainstream media going bankrupt?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been lying so much they've lost their audience. I heard that CNN lost 90% of its revenue for its marketing. So it's seeking buyers. I heard Fox News lost a lot of their revenue, and I don't have a figure on that. But what I did hear regarding Fox News was that four pro-Trump supporters and billionaires went out, formed a consortium, and they bought out Fox News, and now you're seeing Fox News flip. Fox News is the first news network to go anti-Biden. They're hostile toward Biden supporters. They're contradicting them. They're producing evidence. They're refuting them. They're insulting them, and they're kicking them off the show and saying, well, you know, we're going to have to cut this off for now. This is not going the way we thought. We've got Fox News now, I believe, following what I call the seven-point conversion toward the truth, that if a major network does not engage in the seven-step conversion to the truth, then the executives and the owners are going to be charged with sedition and treason. And at the same time, they've lost their revenue from marketing. So it's a double-edged sword that is hurting them on both edges of the sword, financially and legally, regarding sedition. I regard sedition as treason light. It's not exactly openly, overtly helping the enemy, aiding and abetting the enemy. It's more like, you know, collusion. We're going to lie about the election. We're going to lie about the vaccine. We're going to lie about the medical statistics. We're going to lie about the vote flipping. We're going to lie about everything in order to support this fraudulent election where Trump had it stolen from him. The mainstream news, Jim, is going to be quite an interesting story in itself real soon, and it's already started. And I'm really glad to hear that Fox News has flipped. And you know, it's not a complete flip overnight. It's a gradual flip where one by one by one, they're making it known what their position is, and their position is anti-Biden. And they're going to be using reason, like, well, he just got destructive policy. Well, he just got all these bribery and you know, bribery charges and treason, selling secrets to the enemy, using Ukraine for private deals. And gosh, I saw it. The guy's name is Sears. He's a comedian. He's red-haired. And he gave a mock video of why it made total sense to hire Hunter Biden for, what's the name of it, Burisma in Ukraine. And he said, well, you know, we do recruiting in crack houses. We do recruiting in brothels and whorehouses. We do sweep the child trafficking centers, and we look for talent. And that's where we found Hunter. And we defend that decision. Wow.
Have you found a way to cope with the deaths and maiming of people you care about that took part in the experimental medical procedures?
Yeah, I have a way of coping. And fortunately, in my surrounding extended family, as I like to call it, it's three or four families, and we're close. We know each other. Not a single one took the vaccine. Not a single one is sick. Not a single one is harmed. But they have been harmed somewhat by lost income. I help a little. I help some. And a few of them I help a lot. I had a death of someone close, and it was my college roommate from Ohio, and he was from New York. I called him a New York Times moron. He didn't like it. I said, you haven't figured out the New York Times had been lying and promoting the liberal retard position for the last 25 years, and you haven't noticed? He didn't like it. I told him if he continued with the doctor's prescribed vaccine and booster, that he'd be dead in less than a year. He was dead in 5 months. He didn't like it. He thought I was crazy. He told me that I have been putting everybody I know at risk for not having sufficient protection. I said, protection from what? Fraudulent medical data? And he said, no, Jim, from the corona, from the COVID. I said, you're so fucking stupid. You don't know that COVID is a fascist plan. Corona is the disease, and it's not even a serious disease. You've been reading the New York Times, and your mind is full of mush. You become a very stupid person, Bruce. And if you're not careful, you're going to be dead. And he's dead. He died last November. He died. He's dead. My best friend in college is dead. How am I coping with it? With anger. Anger toward his stupidity. And his widow is glad she got vaccinated. And I said, Julie, I don't want any more contact with you. You're just as stupid as Bruce. You know the medical sector is dangerous. You know the vaccine is to do harm. Yet you're happy you got vaccinated. You're dumb as a rock. Don't contact me anymore. You upset me. Your stupidity harms me. It infects my environment. So that's how I cope. I cut them off. I edit out people who got vaccinated because they will be the zombies next year. I think a very good investment is whatever small company sells adult diapers, because we're going to have a lot of zombies next year. Millions in the United States. Hundreds of thousands in Canada. They're going to need adult diapers. They can't go to work, and pretty soon they won't be able to manage a good poop. That's how I cope. Anger. Cut them off. I cut them off. I asked my friend, why didn't you cut off Bob in California? He killed his wife by pushing the vax on her. His father is dead. His uncle is dead. His brother-in-law had a heart attack. His sister-in-law had a heart attack. Why didn't you cut him off? And he said, well, I'm hoping I can influence him. I said, good luck. The denial is as bad as alcoholism. They will not admit that they killed their loved ones. The head of the family is often in charge, like the father. Says everybody in this family will get vaccinated or you can't remain in the family, and the grandparent, you can't visit your grandkids. The grandparent, you can't visit me and my wife because you're not vaxxed. So cut them off. It's painful. Make new friends. They're going to be gone. Get used to it. They're going to be gone. And they're going to be, if you invite them over and they come over, they might poop on your couch because they're going to become zombies. That's how I manage it. With anger, edit them out, and I get upset at them. I had a good college buddy, and he insulted me a year and a half ago. He said, Jim, you're not a doctor. Why should I listen to you and not my medical doctor? I said, because your medical doctor has an inducement to lead you down the path toward the cemetery. He said, that's ridiculous, Jim. That's ridiculous. I said, really? I don't think so. I'm not getting vaccinated. I'm not getting boosted. He said, well, you're running a risk. I said, I don't think so. Let's talk in a year if you're still around. Unbelievable. That's how I cope. Edit, anger, cut them off. You're not going to influence them. You're not going to influence them. You're not going to influence them. They're going to dig in deeper. Let them go.
Where can people subscribe to your newsletter and talk to you directly?
Well, that's golden-jackass.com. That's the website. Actually, we now have 4 years of the newly revamped website, so it's been so long, I can't really say it's newly revamped, but back in 2019, it underwent, you know, a facelift, and I got a great website manager out of Western Europe. I love him. He's a good guy. He's smart. He's helped me in a number of ways. He's improved the website. We got a new and improved donate button, as I mentioned. No more PP. For those who don't know what PP, get an education. The consult button is frequently used. I'm available. I'm more available about 3 weeks per month, 2.5, 3 weeks per month. And then I really cut back until I get the report done at the end of the month. And then I, you know, got a short list short list to manage. And I've done quite a few in the last few days, trying to clear the slate so that I can begin the work, the heavy work in for the November report. But there's also a sponsor button, the donate button. That helps me out. The sponsor is for big aid. The donate button is for smaller cumulative aid. But it all helps. They all add up. And I'm very happy to say that I've got a full recovery from 2 years ago. Golden-jackass.com. Go take a visit. Play with the buttons.
Jim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
It's a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Bye now.
My guest has been Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. GoldRadio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.